Happy Preparation Day, everyone. Today is Friday, April the 12th, 2019, 7:03 in the morning, Pacific Daylight Time. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, sponsored by the Women's Ministry Department of Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Nora Fabregar, your moderator this morning, and I'm moderating from Los Angeles, California. The word of the Lord says in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And from Steps to Christ, page 70, "Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first word. Let your prayer be, 'Take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me, and let my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Surrender your plans to him. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God. And thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ." It's a blessing that the Lord has given this prayer line as the avenue, or as an avenue for us to connect with one another far and wide, pray together, and listen to a message from our speaker. This morning, our speaker is Sister Pat Sheffield, and the reference number is 797. And Sister Pat Sheffield is also known as Sister Pat, is a servant of the Lord in the capacity of a medical missionary. Her duties in this God-supported Bible health ministry include, but are not limited to, promoting faith in God, teaching the world about the soon-coming Savior, and proclaiming mankind's right to physical, mental, and spiritual healing through health reform. All of Sister Pat's credentials are heaven approved. And her expertise is about women's health. And when it comes to women's health, Sister Pat has an extreme passion for the complete, comprehensive care of women from infancy to seniors. This is fulfilled on several areas of her ministry, such as medical missionary training, pregnancy, childbirth, and midwifery, education and services, health lectures, personal consultations, therapeutic services, publications, and more. This work includes domestic and foreign assignments, and simply put, Christ's commission in Matthew 28 has been and is Sister Pat's mission. So we are so blessed that she is able to come to the line in spite of her busy schedule. And she has been doing the parenting series, and this is the fourth one. And for those who has not been able to listen to the first three parenting series, the reference number is 716-737-777, and today it's 797. So before I give the line to her, area code 559, are you able to give our opening prayer? Let us lift up Sister Pat in prayer, and let's pray for all our unspoken prayer requests, our prayer list, and for the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. Area code 559, are you able to give our opening prayer? Or anyone else? Okay, I'll pray. Okay, sister, 559. Okay, I don't hear her. So let us pray. For those who are able, please kneel. Dear kind, loving Heavenly Father, it's a blessing to be able to come together this Holy Preparation Day to pray with one another, fellowship with one another, and listen to your message through your faithful servant, Sister Pat. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you for who you are, being our Creator and our Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life that you have given us, for waking us up this morning, and for this prayer line that we can come together every day at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and be able to share the message from above. We lift up to you each and every caller who will be on the line this morning, and those who are on the line. Lord, we lift up to you those who are sick. Pray especially for Brother Davin Bennett, who had a surgery yesterday. I pray that you will touch him with your healing hand, and we praise you for the power of prayer, that through prayers he was able to overcome the pain that he was experiencing, and the medicine was taken. So I pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to be with him and his wife as they do the ministry in the Philippines. I lift up to you those who lost their loved ones, the Aguinaldo family. Lord, we love this sister who passed away. We call him her Nanang, that you provide comfort to the family, but she lived a good life, almost 90 years old. So we praise you, dear Lord, that you let her sleep without the pain, and she would be able to rest in peace, waiting for your soon return. So we lift up to you each and every prayer request and spoken one, and the spoken ones of all those of our brothers and sisters who were on the line. I pray, dear Lord, that you will answer them according to your will. Lord, we lift up to you our dear sister Pat Sheffield. We pray that you will anoint her lips, that the words that will come out of her mouth are the words that you want your people to hear, are the words that will bless each and every one of us, and we can share to the people around us to change their lives, to change their character, and to change the way they face life, especially on parenting. May you continue to bless Sister Pat's family, Sister Pat's ministry, and all the people that she is in contact with, her ministry, especially her students who are learning to become medical missionaries. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you will grant the desire of each and every heart according to your will. We claim your promise, dear Lord, that when we call upon you, you will show us great and mighty things more than we ever know. And we pray that we will be faithful until the end, sharing your message and developing that character of Christ in our lives so that people will see you in us. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning, dear Lord, as we listen to the message. We pray that you will clear our hearts, our minds, and focus on the message that you want us to learn today. We love you, dear Lord, and we thank you for using us in this ministry. Help us to be faithful to you until the end. And please, please, Lord, forgive us our sins if we fall short of your glory. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love, for the peace, for your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, Sister Pat, good morning once again. We are so blessed having you this morning. The time is now yours.
As we linger a little bit longer, our Father with heart in heaven, great is your faithfulness. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross, and I'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings once again, brothers and sisters in Christ. Happy Preparation Day. And especially today, the Lord has afforded me another year of life. Nothing I deserve. But I'm thanking him for his mercy and his grace. As we continue our parenting classes, I pray that for those who have had an opportunity to go back and listen to the ones that were previously done, that you have sought the Lord and have asked him to be your teacher, and where we may have fallen short in parenting, that he's faithful to bring us up where we need to be. And that's why this morning, the title of the parenting class this morning is Parenting the Head and Not the Tail. You know, when God set his people in the promised land, he declared that if they would obey his directives and adopt all of his wise procedures, there would be no other people on earth to compare with them. That was a solemn promise that he gave to his people. You know, in Deuteronomy, he said that if we do this, he would bless us. And God is still wanting to call us his people. He had set up where we should be the head and not the tail. When I think of parenthood, when it is properly discharged, it is not an occupation for the unskilled. It is a task which requires a high level of competence, and it should not be undertaken by those who are not truly qualified for that work. In fact, if the average person were to realize all that is involved and required in parenthood, together with the terrible consequences of failure, there would be manifest on the person's part a marked hesitancy to undertake this great responsibility. You know, many times I hear young people say, "Oh, I can't wait to get married and have children." But again, as it was stated, if many of us would have really stopped to think what the requirements were to become parents, I think we would have hesitated in a lot of our plans and moving forward. You know, on the other hand, when the person captures a glimpse of the incredible rewards of success in parenthood and the tremendous support, efficiency, and guidance promised by God, we will be inspired to undertake the work. God put his people here to reproduce, but not to reproduce only our own kind, our own image, but to reproduce his image. There are few, if any, things more wonderful than having a family of true consecrated children with sound physical constitutions, powerful intellects, living spiritual experiences, deep abiding love for God, their parents, and their fellow men, and well-balanced personalities. Do you know a child like that? You know, in Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Hello, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, what prospective parents need before they embark on a career in marriage is a realistic and comprehensive appraisal of what they are about to undertake. That's why the Lord has put on my heart, and not only my heart, but one of my students that was in the past class, we need to put together a pre-marriage kit. Yes, we need a kit before anybody says, I do. You know, this will lead people to devote a much greater proportion of their time to thorough preparation for the task awaiting them. They will then enter upon their responsibilities as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, with an intelligence and dedication worthy of the high calling. You know, sadly, it's a tragedy that anyone who wishes can enter into marriage and parenthood without being required to possess any degree of competency whatsoever. You know, we think God is a haphazard God, like the world requires certain qualifications. Where do you think they got that from? God is a God of order. You know, society is blind to the need for young people to be taught the purpose of marriage and the skills required to fit them to have and raise children. Is society teaching our children what it is to have a family unit? I doubt that, because if so, we wouldn't have as many divorces we have, not only in the world, but now I believe the church has caught up with the world. You can't tell the difference, the divorces in the world and in the church. You know, the result is that the young people undertake responsibilities for which they are unfitted. A sad situation which leads eventually to every kind of family fragmentation. We wonder why our homes are broken, because we were not taught the requirements or the qualifications that were required before we said, I do. Rightfully, those who aspire to other important vocations in life, such as being a doctor, an architect, a civil engineer, or airplane pilots, are required to meet certain standards of efficiency before they are trusted to occupy these positions. So it should be with those who aspire to be raise children. It's an occupation which is unmeasurable, more important than any other. You know, child training begins with parent training. How many of us have parent training? The idea but non-existent situation would be met if every individual back to the original parents had been born again from the point immediately after conception and faithfully and correctly trained thereafter. Had this been so, the human race would have become truly incredible and the work of God would have been finished long, long ago. That's why we are still wandering here in this world, because we have not been taught and we're still refusing to allow God to be our teacher. But this is not the case. You know, we should be sitting at the feet of Jesus, and as we sit at the feet of Jesus as parents, our children will be sitting at our feet and they will be learning of Christ. However, there is no one in the world today who can claim an ideal set of conditions for his role as a parent. You know, we are blessed that God has not turned his back on us. Today, many who have accepted the message on parenting but are already married and have children of various ages may feel discouraged because the message came too late for them to secure the right training for their children. You know, our natural inclination is to cry and say, oh, woe is me. Because of my present sin of not being a good parent, we realize that our children will not be able to reach the glorious heights they might have, and they feel forced to be satisfied with less than the best. But I'm here to share hope with you. Let none of us weep over opportunities that have been lost, but rather let's rejoice that the light has come before it was too late. The message is to be applied to children already born, and while there will be added difficulties to overcome people, the results will still be superior to those offered by the old system. You know, every child can now be saved from the indwelling power of a sin master and initiated into God's family. That's what it's all about. We need to join the family of God. And in order for children to understand the God of heaven, he must be taught it here on earth in his family life. You know, the study of the preparation of the parents and the procedures to be followed by them in the saving and training of their children will occupy, you know, every other Friday. That's what we're trying to focus on, the preparation for parents to know what to do to train their children. You know, my heart is burdened because people are to look to us, those who say we are the remnant of God. And do they see the example? Do they see Jesus when they see our family? You know, many of our pastors, our elders, our deacons, our officers are doing the work in the church while their families are suffering. They have put the work in the church first while their families are falling apart. And we continue to put them in those positions because we like them, but at the expense of their children leaving the Lord, their wives are disheartened, their wives are just sad. But we're happy that they are serving us in the church. Brothers and sisters, that should not be. You know, in a church I once attended, one of the elders offered his resignation, and everybody was sad. I'll never forget, it was at a Wednesday prayer meeting. And he said, I am here to announce that I am relinquishing my position of elder. And everybody was like, no, no, you're doing a great job. But he said, you don't understand. He says, I am out of order. Because when I read in the Bible, it says, if a man cannot order his own household, how can he then order the household of God? And they said, no, you're doing a great job. And he says, no, you don't understand. I have failed my family. Now I must go and try to repair with God's help. And the brothers and sisters are still trying to discourage him from doing that, to say, no, no, you're doing a great job. But he says, no, I must do it, or I will be lost along with my family. You know, the first principle to be recognized is that we must be in ourselves all that we wish our children to be. In Child Guidance, page 217, it says, if parents desire their children to be right and do right, they must be right themselves in theory and in practice. And our children just don't see the example in the home. I am guilty. My son
heard one thing, but he saw me do another thing, and I am very ashamed. And then I expected my son to do what was right? This is a truth which some folk are slow to accept, a fact which was impressed on my mind at a parents and teachers meeting one time. You know, as teachers, we have a responsibility to try to teach other people's children how to be right, wherein if they were taught at home how to be right, then our work as teachers would not be so difficult. But we have failed at our job, so we expect another person to correct our children. Well, let me rephrase that. No, if we, somebody else, correct our children, we are very angry at them. The nerve of you to tell my child that they were disrespectful. Oh, yes, I've had parents to tell me, you were wrong about my child. That is not my child. I know one time I was teaching, and a parent was just giving all the accolades about their child. And in actuality, when the child was asked to read, the child stumbled over every word. And when we did our parent-teacher meeting together, and I shared with the mother that the child, it would be good for her to work with the child in their reading, she says, no, my child is an excellent reader. Parents, we do not want to accept that we have fallen short in raising our children properly and even in educating our children. You know, I am not here I hope in my voice you're not thinking I am condemning anyone. I am talking to myself when I am talking because I understand I have not done or I did not do what God asked me to do. Never in history has a full and sustained fulfillment of God's requirement has been produced in me nor in his people. God set us up to be an example to the world, but instead we have become the tail that we are gathering the fragments from the world and we have started doing what the world is doing. You know, with the new declaration or the new law in New York, I wonder how many Seventh-day Adventist families are rushing to the health clinic or to the doctor's office to get their children vaccinated so that they can be in public school. Oh, no, not any of God's professed people, because we have the health message. And if we follow the laws of health, he has promised he would put no diseases on us that the Egyptians have. But we want our children to go to Egyptian school, so therefore the Egyptians have a law. That law is vaccinate or your children can't go here. So how many of us are bowing to Baal and Ashtaroth and saying, yes, we will do it because we want our children to be educated in your schools. You know, I'm reading in Deuteronomy 26, verses 19. It says, had Israel been true to God, he could have accomplished his purpose through their honor and exaltation. If they had walked in the ways of obedience, he would have made them high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor. The nations which shall hear all these statutes shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I just read from Deuteronomy 26, verse 19, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 4, 6. But because of our unfaithfulness, God's purpose could be wrought out only through continued adversity and humiliation. That's from Desire of Ages, page 28. How tragic that the Jews chose the hard way to be God's instruments when they could have lived lives of power and prosperity. And we are repeating what the Jews did. Why are we having adversity? Why are we having so many problems when God had only promised us with his covenant? And, you know, we were just studying last week. We think we make a covenant with God? Never. Because we can't even keep a covenant with one another. When we get married, we promise to do this and this, and then what happens? That covenant is broken because we're ready to divorce. So God never made a covenant with people. If you read, he made a covenant between himself and his son on our behalf. If you read in Genesis chapter 12, he called Abraham out of his country from amongst his people and his kindred and his race, and he said, I will do this. I will make your seed. And Abraham, as old as he was, and Sarah, as old as she was, could not fulfill a covenant with God. That seed could have never been produced by them. They needed God and God alone, because the seed he promised from Genesis 3:15, even through Abraham, was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And only God could have provided that seed, and not erring, sinful man. You know, the Jews, again, chose the hard way, and as God's people, we have chose the hard way to do what God has asked us to do. We persist in being disobedient and rebellious. So persistently has failure marked the church down through the centuries that God's people have come to accept this as the best that can be expected. Passages such as quoted in Desire of Ages are regarded as idealistic, but hopelessly unreal. You know, people watch reality shows, and I guess we think that is real. No, reality is a thus said the Lord. But, when I was younger, I questioned why the intellectual power and the wealth of the world were in the hands of the disobedient and unjustified people. You know, we say that. Why are they prospering? Why was it that children who came from a home where principles of truth were respected and lived as best as we knew how were merely average among the worldly children at school? It seemed as if God's statements were rather hollow and unreliable. And I was tempted to think that God, in making his promises, were merely holding up incentives to motivate us to obey, when in fact the rewards did not really exist. This was in my mind. I'm saying, we say we're the people, but why is that person over there prospering? Why are their children excelling? It seemed that God employed the same tactics as the politics who promise. You know, the politicians say, oh, if I'm elected, I'll do this. And I put God in that same category. You know, the politics say their promises so they can get votes. And then once they get in that position and the election is over, what happened to the promises? And I put God in that same category. But when God makes promises, they are true. They are yea and amen. The problem is I have not done or met the conditions
in order to receive those promises. But yet and still, I still blame God. But even though God has made these promises, he still in his mercy gives us tokens of his love, and we still don't appreciate it. Again, it has ever been God's plan for his people to be models of responsible prosperity in the physical, mental, material, and spiritual world. This they would have been had they understood and practiced the principles of righteousness in all the training of themselves and their children. The time has arrived when I no longer have any difficulty in believing God's promises, brothers and sisters. And I can clearly see now that the failure is not in God, but the failure has been in me. The secret has been revealed in Christ's life as an infant, as a child, as a boy, as a youth, and as a man. If I just look to Christ, I can see what God wants and wanted for me and my family. When parents learn the cause of Christ's obedience on earth and how to establish that same cause, our children, brothers and sisters, will then see in there the same wonderful results. In Jesus, see, we're looking to the wrong things in Jesus and Jesus only. At every stage of his development, from his conception to his ascension, we see the truth of God's promises to his people fulfilled, which in turn means that in God we see what God intended and promised to us, every one of his people. Therefore, the life of Christ from his earliest moments on earth to his ascension should be studied not merely as something beautiful to admire, but as a living revelation of what each of us can and ought to be. Christ never went without anything. He said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." But that was Christ's choice, but he didn't own a house, but he always had a home to stay in. With never-ending delight and renewed inspiration, we should behold the Savior who enjoyed perfect health. Do you know man can enjoy perfect health today? Exercise incredible mental powers and perceptions. Possess all the material necessities for what we need to do in God's business. And we can be filled with spiritual power equaled by no other. Can you envision that? The head and not the tail. But when time is taken to survey the powers that the child Jesus manifested, one is inclined to dismiss as impossible any hope of our children matching his brilliant success. The tendency is to believe that Jesus was more blessed with natural ability than our children could ever hope to be. But the Savior was not born a child prodigy, nor was he naturally endowed with exceptional intellectual powers. He possessed no advantages whatsoever that are not available to every one of us. We can be just like Jesus. But do we believe that? You know, in Desire of Ages, page 664, it says, Jesus revealed no qualities and exercised no powers that man may not have through faith in him. Do you hear the key word? We must have the faith of Jesus. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess if they will be in subjection to God as he was. So that is the answer. That is the secret for our children to be trained properly. We must have faith in Christ, and we must be subject to God
as Christ was. What a tremendous promise this statement contains. When the life of Christ is studied in the light of these words, we begin to realize how far we have fallen short of what we might have been. Thoroughly ashamed, we see how low has been the accepted standard of human behavior at all age levels, and we become painfully aware of the need to exert every effort in the right way to make the most of what remains. Brothers, sisters, as long as we are still living, it is never too late to acquire Christ's righteousness. When the full beauty, impact, and power of the truth is realized by parents, they will discard their darkness and unbelief and grasp the mighty challenge thus laid before them to bring forth children who will truly be like the child Jesus. And again, I always mention this. How many of our children have grown up to say, "Oh, I want to be like Jesus. Oh, Mommy, how can I be like Jesus? Daddy, how can I be like Jesus? Oh, teacher, I want to be like Jesus." Have you ever heard that phrase before? So persistently, so consistently that your heart was moved that you said, "Oh, let me go help this child be like Jesus." Have any on this line ever heard a child say that? Parents would do well to constantly study and behold the excellence of Christ's life as a child so that the divine pattern is kept fresh in their mind. You know, we have a manual. The Parenthood Manual is the Bible. It says, "All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall there be their peace." We're not at peace, brothers and sisters, because we have not educated our children as they should be. In Christ's time, the religious leaders controlled the school system in which the children and youth were educated. Who is controlling the school system today? Because the parents were blind to the real nature of what was being, you know, taught. They sent their precious little ones to these men who systematically trained them to reject God. Are we sending our children to a place that automatically rejects God? And I'll tell you, if we send our children to public schools, they're teaching our children to reject God. They did not do this maliciously or deliberately, for they really believed that what they were teaching was truth sent from heaven. This was talking about the Jewish schools, but the people who are teaching our children today, I don't think they're trying to teach them maliciously and deliberately to reject God. But the matter of the fact is, our children are going to the school of Alexander. And Alexander rejected God. And he did not believe in God. Hence, how then can we give our children Greek education when they rejected God? People, we have it all backwards. We do. In Desire of Ages, page 84, from its earliest years, the Jewish child was surrounded with the requirements of the rabbis. Rigid rules were prescribed for every act, to the smallest details of life. Under the synagogue teachers, the youth were instructed in the countless regulations which, as Orthodox Israelites, they were expected to observe. The Desire of Ages, page 84. We are people of rigid rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. There was no religious training more professedly righteous. God ordained our soul saving. than that offered by the Jewish rabbis, yet in actual fact, there was none better designed to rob its victim of eternal life. And are our children being robbed of eternal life by sending them to the school of the rabbis, which are the Seventh-day Adventist schools we have today, or to send them to public school? Christ did not attend these schools because of his keen discernment of what was really taught in them and because of his Father's protective care over him. If we had a protective care over our children, we wouldn't send them to some of these schools, especially public schools. While Christ's immediate family and Jews in general had the greatest faith in the system, Christ saw no value in it and therefore showed no interest in Jewish theology or philosophy. I'm reading from Desire of Ages, page 84. But Jesus did not interest himself in these matters. From childhood, he acted independently of the rabbinical laws. How many of us are teaching our children to be independent thinkers? The scriptures of the Old Testament were his constant study, and the words, "Thus saith the Lord," were ever upon his lips. You know, we have too much controversy between us. You know, I'm always giving you my opinion, or you're always giving me your opinion. But it says Jesus was an independent thinker, and he always said, "It is written," or "Thus saith the Lord." What incredible perception for a child approaching God's school age. You know, I had a niece who told me that, "Auntie Pat, the children always make fun of me and bully me because, you know, I guess I'm smart." And she says, "And that really bothers me." And you know what I told her to do? I said, "The next time you go to school and they bother you, tell them that you're going to tell Jesus on them and see what they say. Say, 'I'm going to tell Jesus on you if you keep bothering me.'" And do you know she did that? And I asked her, "What did the children do?" She said, "They looked at me strange, and they left me alone." If we only tell people that we're going to tell Jesus on them, they will leave us alone. Desire of Ages, page 84 to 85. It says, as the condition of the people began to open to his mind, Christ saw that the requirements of society and the requirements of God were in constant collision. Do we see that today? The world education and Christian education are in collision today. Men were departing from the Word of God and exalting theories of their own invention. They were observing traditional rites that possessed no virtue. You know, in church last week, one of the elders was talking about, if we knew that every day we were worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth, we would be surprised. Did you know that daily we worship Baal? We have Baal worship and we worship Ashtaroth? I guess you say not so, because when he said that, I was like, huh? But when I think about some of the things I do, some of the things I watch, I have to say, is that Baal worship? Because do you know, in the long run, everything we do is about worship. When you go to school, it's about worship. When we eat, it's about worship. When we, everything we do is about worship. And we don't understand that Satan is vying for the position that God has. And many times we don't know we are worshiping Satan. And he is just smiling like, I got them, because he has entered into the holy place. When Christ has moved to the most holy place, it says that Satan He slipped in, and while the people were bowing and not watching Christ when he moved to the next compartment, they thinking that they are worshiping Christ, but instead Satan breathed on them, and they are worshiping. And when I say they, I'm talking about God's church. We are worshiping Satan, and we don't even know it. And then if we're worshiping Satan, our children is worshiping Satan. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the head, was the head, and wants to make us the head. As parents, so that we can be that example and we can hold the banner high. But the only way we can be the head and not the tail is by us confessing, repenting, and turning away from the worldly systems. Who today is willing to commit themselves to God's training as parents, even though your children are grown? And my mother always said, you're never grown, because it says, honor your parents and mothers, your father and mother, that your days may be long. And that didn't say even when you get married. They are still your parents, and you're still to honor them. But the mistakes they made, we're not to hold them over their head to say, it was your fault. We have to take responsibility now, because if we have a relationship with God, God is able to correct, to undo the mistakes we have made, or to reconcile us back to him. We're praying. Father in heaven, we thank you for being the God of heaven, who is the head of all families, who is the head of the universe, who want to have his children to proclaim his name, which is his character here on earth. But God, we have settled to be the tail. And by being the tail, we have dishonored you. But you have not removed your promises from us. They are still there waiting on us to take hold of. Forgive us for where we have fallen short of your glory. We've fallen short of your example. We've fallen short in righteousness. Lord, I am the chief of sinners, but you are still striving with me, and I'm thankful, Lord. I should be dead, but you today have given me another year of life where I can be made new as I die daily. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, Lord. Please don't cast me away. And I'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And I will proclaim this gospel until I die, which is the power of God unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Pat, for that very important message that each one of us must contemplate as parents to be, and even grandparents. And I pray that each one of us would share this message to our friends and family. And yes, you're right, being a parent, it's an overwhelming task to raise children, especially in our world today. It's very challenging, and there are many distractions and corruptions abound, but parents has no proper preparation. You said you're right when you said pilots need training, or the world require certain qualification before doing their job. But Yeah, parenting is an enormous job, but most people just jump into marriage or not even thinking, just go into it, having kids without thinking much about the responsibilities and how to nurture these children. And we are blessed to know that as Christians, we have the Word of God as our direction, our manual, as you say, manual in our parenting ways and in our day-to-day activities. So thank you for that message, and I pray that we as parents, grandparents, and parents-to-be that are listening, we just look upon Jesus, look at his words for instructions, and practice what we are telling our children. So we pray that the Lord will continue to bless each one of us, especially you, Sister Pat, as you share the word. So this morning, I'll be opening the line for Q&A. So brethren who are on the line tonight, today, or parents that are on the line, it's now your time for comments, for questions about this very, very important message. Sister Joni from Wisconsin, good morning.
Good morning, Sister Nora. Thank you for your moderating. Good to hear you, Sister Pat. I came in a little late. I'm got to get to my stay with my father. He'll be 91, and my mother went in the hospital yesterday. She had fallen Monday, and I guess my sister's a nurse. She took her in yesterday because of her pain, and so she had broke or cracked a few of her ribs, so they're keeping her for a few days. So I'm sorry I'm jumping the gun, but I'll have to go after this. Just thank you so much. I like what you said. I kind of caught the last end. I'm going to tell Jesus. I'm going to remember that. I really like that. We just need this encouragement to give all to the Lord, for our kids' sake, our children, for our grandchildren. I was singing some, I love to sing, I was singing some old-fashioned songs this morning, and I hadn't sang some of these, and I'm sure some of you know, Is Your All on the Altar. And that's what I was thinking about at the end, how you ended. And yes, I want to recommit my life as well, but it says, Is Your All, the chorus is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice laid, excuse me, your heart. Does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. And so, I'm so grateful. I was reading the men from the tombs this morning that Jesus had healed, and they so wanted to be with him. And what did he do? He told them to go and tell their neighbors, and he uses us, when he has, helped us to come away from our past and yet that was right before where he put the swine, I think, went into the lake, and they didn't want him there, and he never urges his presence. But on this last page, I was just going to say, it says, Satan is the god of the world. His influence is to pervert the senses, control the human mind for evil, and drive his victims to violence and crime. And just the last little part down, it says, Satan controls many households, people, and churches. He watches the indication of moral corruption. The only safety is to watch unto prayer against his devices, for he goes about in the last days like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And the good part is the presence of Jesus is a safeguard against his advances. So, Jesus is the answer, right? Isn't there's a song about Jesus is the answer in the world today? There is no other, something like that. A friend of mine likes sings that song once in a while. But God bless you all. Happy Preparation Day, and I'm going to look forward to go back, Sister Pat, because I missed about half of your talk this morning, getting my walk in. So, yeah, thank you so much. God bless you, and I'll look forward. I hope maybe you mentioned how your seminar, yeah, if you didn't, maybe you'll share at the end. But if you did, I'll go back and listen how that went, because I think that's over now.
Good to hear from you, Sister Joni. The Lord bless, and he's still working. The maternal gospel is going forward, and I'm excited.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Joni, for your comment, and God bless you. Any other comment or question to Sister Pat, please start 6 your line. And I'm glad to see Sister Pat Charles on the line today. I haven't seen you for almost a month, Sister Pat. So any question, any comment so far? Please star 6 your line. I don't see anyone unmuting their line, Sister Pat. So would you like to say some closing words before we can open the line again for prayer requests?
Well, we're in this together, and even though we're going to be saved individually, we as brothers and sisters need to encourage one another, and we just need to come together. And this isn't a competition. You know, my heart aches when it appears there's a competition in the church amongst ministries or amongst people. I have no heaven to put anybody in, or nobody has any heaven, but we need to learn to work together. So it is my prayer, as God is working on me, that we will learn to work together so that we can finish this work so Christ can come and take us home.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's our prayer, Sister Pat, that there we just look on Christ alone. Let's watch and pray and work together so that we can hasten Christ's return. So let us have that word of the Lord to guide us in our lives, and we will never go wrong. So thank you for being with us this morning. And brothers and sisters, if you have a prayer request, the line is open for prayer requests. We have our sister from Georgia, Sister Josine. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I was really, really, really very impressed with this presentation, and I just thank God for speaking through you, my sister. I have had evidences where this was done, and, you know, the female would stay at home, and the male would go out to do the work, and there is such a difference in those children. So I just want to thank you that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you in this message this morning. Is it okay if I go ahead and give my prayer request at the same time?
Go ahead, sister.
Okay, my request is I have two friends who were members of the church, and they have defected, they have separated, and they do not attend church anymore. We just got the news yesterday, and I'm asking that you pray for them. I don't really want to put their names on the line because I don't know who's listening, but if you just pray for this couple, this friend of mine who have left the church. First, they separated from each other, and one doesn't want to go to the church. The wife doesn't want to go to the church where her husband was attending, and both of them now are not attending. I'm asking that you please, please pray for them. It really has troubled me and my prayer partner. Number two, I would appreciate if you would pray that the Lord would open up a home for us. We have to leave the house where we were. It's up for sale, and we have until the 30th of this month. If you pray that God will provide a country home for us, really appreciate that as well. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Josine. So, brothers and sisters, let's continue to pray for one another, that we can be good parents, good grandparents, and we will just and share this message today as a message of encouragement to all of us. And we know that Jesus Christ is always there to guide us. All we need to do is call upon him. Sister Pat, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm so happy to be back home. You know, you go around, but there's always a reassurance when you're going home. So I'm back, thank God. I used to just be able to get the playback sometimes. And right now I still cannot get calls. I took telephone companies is just fighting each other to give me this line, but I know God is able, and eventually I'll be able to get calls. But I thank God that I can get on it, despite what they're both one saying the next, once this company, two people saying something else, and I never heard anything so in my life. I know the devil is just raging, but he has his work to do, and I have mine too. So he's not stopping me, despite what I've been going through. I have four boxes someplace else with literature, and Sister Nora, I'm so glad that you will be getting those Spanish literature to me. I'm so thankful when sometimes I come on and I hear you say, you're not hearing me, you know, it had to be something. It had to be something why you wasn't hearing me. But I was listening and praying, and God is good. I thank you. I thank Sister Pat for the message. I heard a little of it, and I can go back and hear, you know, that is one thing. And thank God for the opportunity and for the blessings. And where I am now, last night when I was coming through the regular road, when I reached to the gate was locked. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know this area. Anyway, thank God I'm not big and I'm flexible. So the gate had a space below, and the Lord just gave me strength and flexibility that I was able to scale through from below to get out onto the road to get to where I stay, because my car is down. So I thank him for mercy. Suppose I couldn't do that. Suppose I was fat, or I couldn't go down, and that nobody saw. I hope nobody's, you know, because it was a public school. Anyway, pray for miracles for me. I'm waiting for somebody to come get me to go with this car God give me. Please pray that I get it fixed soon, today. I need a car to do God's work. I don't want him to, you know, so much. The box is almost still at the shipping company. And I thank God for the Spanish literature that I'm getting, because there's over thousands is in Trinidad. They opened the conference of my church in the south, and the people need Spanish literature. So I'm getting. I even spoke to the evangelist that is having the crusade in about a week. I pray for miracles that these containers will reach. Since December they were there, but I was waiting to fill them, and God opened. So to pray that they would not put no charges for.
Your prayer request, Sister Pat.
I'm in the end. And also, please pray that I get the things to Mel in Jamaica. She just went to do some mission work, and there's a barrel to be sent. I get some transportation. And for Sister Deborah, who is leaving tomorrow, Sunday for Senegal, to pray that she get all the literature in French that she need to carry back to Senegal, and for the work she's doing in the health field, she and her children. So she's an American lady that went over there and loved Senegal and decided to move there. So pray for Sister Deborah. And I've been praying for you all and continue my prayer list. Pray for my brother. He was in hospital and there's a lot going on. He needs a place to stay. Pray that miracles will work, that he wouldn't worry and go to the liquor. And he has a work to do in Boston, and I hope to join him in a couple months to go around all his friends in all his different places with liturgy. I sent up the boxes already, months now, but he's not giving it out, so I'll have to go and help. He had custom giving out liturgy. I don't know what happened to him. Yeah. So do pray for that, and also for all my names and all the needs and the wants and the desires, and for Trinidad especially, for Ruth Jones. Oh, and for the mission posts. I hear somebody is putting up a room near, so pray that God will help me to get down there in time so I can get that mission post on my name, so that person would not get it before me to own it. Because if he gets the electricity on his name, he can do what he wants. So pray for miracles. I can't even find my passport. So pray for miracles with that situation, that don't happen. Ruth Jones don't allow that son of hers to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for coming this morning, Sister Pat. This prayer line seems different without seeing you. So we are praising the Lord for your answered prayer regarding your phone, and we'll continue to keep you in prayer and your prayer list, okay?
Thank you so much, and thank you for the literature.
Yes.
Make sure and remember, and anybody else who want to send Spanish for Trinidad, over 40,000 in that little island, and they need to be evangelized.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you, and let's keep working for the Lord. God bless you, Sister Pat. Yeah.
God bless you, too, for your leadership and your observance and your everything that is good.
That's the Lord's work, Sister Pat.
And to everything that is going on.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so anyone else who has some prayer requests, or else we will proceed to our closing prayers. Sister Pat Sheffield, let's have our closing prayer. Let's remember all the lists that were mentioned, Sister Pat's list. And let's pray. I have a list. I have two prayer requests here. I texted to pray for the Tessie is asking for a So to pray for her uncle Tagio, who is becoming curious about Adventist. So, and Jonathan, his son is also having diabetes, so pray for healing. And pray for our brother Davin Bennett, healing, as he had surgery, and pray for his ministry, and also for the pain that he will not need any medication. And also pray for the family of the Pimentel and Aguinaldo as they lost their matriarch. And pray for all our unspoken prayer requests. We pray for the planned camp meeting in August, that all that we are, all the logistics will be in place, and there will be volunteers, there will be resources, and whatever we plan, it's according to God's plan. So Sister Pat, we are now ready for our closing prayer. We'll continue to pray for all our speakers and their ministries, and that includes you.
We're praying. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again, it's an honor to come before your throne of grace to give you praise, to lift up your name because you're God and there's none other like unto you. We thank you for being the God of the universe who has made a covenant with his son on our behalf. And Lord, we thank you for knowing that we're just erring human beings where we can't even keep a covenant with one another. How can we keep it with you? But as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, each and every day, we want to grow closer and closer to you. Lord, you never wanted us to be mingled with the world, but you wanted us to lift your name up in the world so that others can be speaking about the God we serve. But Lord, we have chosen so many gods, demigods, be it in education, be it in jobs, be it in homes, be it in persons. And Lord, we just ask for forgiveness because your law has said we shall have no other gods before us because you're a jealous God. Not that jealous because you fear any other one, but God, because you're God. You created us in your image. And we thank you that we can come to your throne with our petitions, even though we have been rebellious, stiff-necked people. But you have graciously told us to come, and we're coming, Lord. You have promised us all of our necessities, which are food, water, and clothing. And, Lord, it is only by your grace that we will have a home. But you have promised us, even in your word this morning, when we forsake houses, lands, brother, sister, wife, father, mother, you have promised to give it back to us 100-fold now. But have we truly left all for your sake? Lord, we know that the failure is not in you, but it's in us. But we're asking, you can halt closing on homes. You can halt a selling of a place. But we heard our sister say the deadline for them to get out is the end of the month. But God, you are the person who sets deadlines. Everything is done in your timing. But Lord, you have prepared a place for them. Hence, you have prepared a place for them. So if you would provide it for them and help them to trust and have the faith in you that you will do what you have promised. We put before you all the petitions of my sister Pat. Good to hear her voice again and how you have continued to work in her lives, Lord. Her desire to be in the mission field, and Lord, now she's not tied down with a house and she can go about to do your work. And we just ask, God, you would give her the strength, you would give her the know-it-all, everything to go and finish this work two by two. Lord, you send your people out two by two because two is better than one. If one falls, the other will be there to lift them up. Also, bless the work in the various ministries. As the lady goes back to synagogue, the work she's been doing over there with Beery, Lord, and with the work in Trinidad, you want this message to get out to everyone. So, Lord, let us realize all of our responsibility is to spread this gospel to the world. Be with those who have lost loved ones, Lord. It says, precious are the saints that die in the Lord. We have no reason to mourn if we know that they rested in you. But during this bereavement time, Lord, comfort them like none other. Lord, also for our wayward children, those who have not seen the example and have left you, but we ask that you would give them no rest, Lord, till they come back. Be with us this preparation day to make sure that we have nothing between one another and anything between you, that we can enter into your Sabbath without any defilement. And Lord, if I fail to ask, grant it all according to your riches. But Lord, the camp meeting, the miniature convocation where your people can come together and where iron sharpeneth iron, Lord, may your will be done, which you have set, no man can stop it. So, Lord, we just ask that you would be with those that are planning, that they will put it in your hands, for because you will finish this work, Lord. It will not be in our hands, but you will lead and guide. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Pat, for the prayer, for the message. Truly, we are blessed. And we pray that each one of us will share this message to our sphere of influence. And so may God bless you. And we look forward to have you again in 2 weeks.
Lord willing. Have a blessed Sabbath. Thank you.
Yes. And to listen to this presentation, you can, the reference number is 797. And this is the fourth of the series of parenting classes. So the first one was, the reference number was 716. Then the second one was 737. And the third one is 777. And today it's 797. So to listen to all of this presentation, please just dial 712-451-1068. And the code is 373047 pound, and the reference number is 797. For our memory verse, let us remember Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And the speaker tonight is Brother Bert Leverett. So we invite every one of you to be with us tonight, our Holy Sabbath day, and we pray that you will be with us to be blessed. And for our announcement, this Sunday is the second Sunday of the month, so we invite you to join Sister Shorter's medical missionary line at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. The numbers the live number is 712-770-5020, and the playback number is 712-770-5061, and the access code is 8689-79 pound. Again, 8689-79 pound. And Sister Gwen Shorter invites you to come and see what the Lord has done. Their website is now live, and I really encourage you to go there. It's very comprehensive. It's well done, and it's a very good resources for medical missionary work and others. So the website is homewardpublishingministries.com. Again, homewardpublishingministries.com. So please check it out. And the Watch and Pray outreach will be next weekend, April 18 to 20. The theme is Liberty of Conscience Threatened. It will be at the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church at 777 Colorado Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90041. The speakers are Pastor Stephen Bohr of Secrets and Sealed Ministries, Brother Hall Mayer of Keep the Faith Ministries, and Dr. Isaac Olutunji, Jr. of Project Latter Rain Ministry. We welcome volunteers and your kind-hearted donation to make this outreach a success. to donate, please write your check to Central Filipino SDA Church and write on the memo Watch and Pray and mail it to Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you can also contact me. For more details, you can also email watchprayandwork@gmail.com. Thank you in advance for your support. And the next week after, which is April 26th to 27, Pastor John and Angela Lumakeng of 3ABN will present a Call to Watchmen series, and we'll have a Sabbath concert at Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it will start on Friday Vespers 7 p.m. and the whole day Sabbath starting at 11 a.m. For information, call 323-255-7718. We are so blessed to have this speakers come to our church this month. So please, those who are in the Los Angeles area, please come. And for those who could not come, share to your friends who are in the Los Angeles area. Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. You may share the website, cfwplm.org, to access all the archive presentation. It's available anytime, anywhere, as long as you have the internet. And the edited replay is also broadcasted at SWM Radio. So continue to stay faithful, and let's keep watching, praying, and working together as we share Jesus' love and grace to all of his people. So may you be blessed by all the messages that are presented here. So if you are blessed, please share. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that is a theme of our 2019 camp meeting. So happy Preparation Day, and for those who are on the other part of the world, happy Sabbath Day, and may we all keep the Sabbath holy. This is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tonight. God bless.
I will pray for you. I will pray for you. I can promise. I will pray for you. Thank you.